It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. As Bloomington considers a complete streets ordinance, the town of Normal now has adopted a complete streets resolution. Joining us on Sound Ideas, as he does most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings, is Mayor Chris Koos. Chris, thanks for stopping by Sound Ideas.
Good afternoon.
We'll also talk about some other transportation-related issues, your announcement that you're seeking another term as mayor as well. And before we dive in, I need to state that I'm president of a bicycle advocacy organization in the community that has advocated in favor of a complete streets policy. I'm also a Town of Normal appointee to the Connect Transit Board of Trustees. Chris, what does complete streets mean to you?
Well, complete streets is street design that accommodates all means of transportation, be it car, trucks, delivering freight, cyclists, walkers, the disabled. It's designing a transportation solution at the local level that will accommodate all modes of transportation.
And there was some discussion last night about how this is sort of a design standard, but it's not a mandate. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, every street's going to be different. You know, it's a function of who it's serving, how much traffic it's carrying, and traffic is all those modes of transportation we talked about. I mean, is there a school nearby that kids are walking to? Is there a workplace where people are riding bikes that more so than they normally would?
In fact, Councilman Jeff Fritzen brought up a great example. He lives in Pleasant Hills and often wants to walk to College Hills, the College Hills shopping area, but has to cross Towanda to get there, which is a difficult street to cross.
Exactly.
So those are the kinds of things you'll look at.
Yeah, it's looking at local transportation venues in terms of when we look at those and repave them or things like that, then we can take a look at them with a complete streets notion.
Why a resolution and not an ordinance like Bloomington is considering? Wouldn't an ordinance carry more power, have more teeth, maybe be more enduring with future city managers or engineers or mayor and councils?
Well, that's possible, but when you do an ordinance, then you're getting into some pages and pages and pages of regulations and defining your types of streets and what rules apply to what streets. And a policy gives us more room to customize, if you will.
So this could cost a little more money to implement as we go street by street, but no one really knows how much money. We're talking about, you know, more paint, maybe some wider sidewalks, maybe infrastructure to accommodate buses or bus stops. What do you think about adopting a policy without some idea or notion of what it might cost?
Well, I think the notion comes in our annual budgeting process when we take a look and say, all right, we're going to this street, we're going to repave it. So now we're going to look at it and see, can we narrow lanes to accommodate more users in the rights of way there? Are the sidewalks adequate for the pedestrian traffic? So it's kind of hard to have a budget for that. Mm-hmm. And that's something we'll do year to year.
And paint really, I mean, it is an expense, but in the overall cost of reconstructing a street, it's small part.
Exactly.
Some see municipalities adopt such policies and then don't see a lot of bikes on the street, or they see less than full buses or empty sidewalks. Would you talk about the need for such a policy? Is it an accommodation, or is it promoting multiple modes of transportation?
Well, that's a good question, Mike, and I think it's both. I think if you have an infrastructure that will accommodate multi-modes of transportation, people might be more inclined. It depends on what their trip is. You know, if they're a pedestrian, it's better be a mile or under. If they're on a bike, it's probably going to be 2 to 3 miles and maybe shorter depending on the weather cycle that we're in.
The town manager and the town engineer can exempt a street, if they don't agree, the council would get involved. What do you see as some possible exemptions?
Well, I'm not looking that far forward on it. I don't see it to be a conflict, given the current council, the focus of the council, the staff, seniority and long-term culture of the staff. I just don't see that being an issue.
That's Town of Normal Mayor Chris Koos. We're talking complete streets and other transportation issues. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. You and Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner introduced a couple of transportation-related resolutions at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. One was on complete streets. What did it call for, and what kind of support did it receive from other mayors?
it received very good support from other mayors and was adopted by the conference as a whole. And it really is kind of a mirror of what we talked about in our ordinance. It was encouraging mayors across the United States to have their municipalities look and adopt a complete streets policy for their communities going forward.
You're being modest. I think it received unanimous support, which is surprising to me because often alternative transportation or support of alternative transportation modes, such as buses and bikes, can split along party lines. Why do you think that received unanimous support?
Well, you know, at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, things often do not split on party lines. It will surprise you. I think mayors across the country, be they Democrat, Independent, or Republican, have the best interests of their community and their constituents in mind when they make decisions, and this is not a political decision. This is a solution, a decision to enhance the livability of the communities that they're in.
The other resolution deals with federally appropriated transportation funds. Local governments have been asking for more direct funding. Why is this important, and is it shifting a little bit?
Well, it is,
Is it the FAST Act is gives a little more direct input?
Well, it's actually we'd like to see more in the long term than that. Currently, transportation policy does not allow direct granting to communities under 200,000 people in the United States. So in Illinois, there's only one community that fits that, Chicago. Mm-hmm. We think that by having competitive granting and funds directly from the federal government to the municipality, we think that the locals know more about their project. They can do it faster, and they can do it cheaper. So they should have the ability to have some competitive granting to get those projects done.
How does the funding come to the town of Normal now? Is it via IDOT?
It's via IDOT and the municipal planning organizations, yes. And it comes to the federal government I'm having a hard time here. Funnels it to IDOT and some to the MPOs.
You recently testified before a House Oversight Committee regarding high-speed rail. What was the purpose of that hearing, and what message did you bring to Washington regarding passenger rail?
Well, it was an interesting hearing because the presiding chairman, John Mica, is the one who called the hearing, and he is not a fan of regional rail, but is a fan of long-distance high-speed rail. And he was having a hearing on whether the money spent on high-speed rail was producing anything. And it was my position to be there to talk about the success of leveraging rail infrastructure with public-private partnerships to benefit the greater good of the community.
The town of Normal certainly has a good story to tell with Uptown Station.
That's a fantastic story to tell, and it's amazing. It's almost embarrassing sometimes that the number of times we're referred to by USDOT for being a model project.
Why does regional rail and long-distance high-speed passenger rail have to be mutually exclusive? Why can't I get on a high-speed rail that continues on beyond my destination and just use it regionally?
Oh, you can. There's no reason to say
so
you can't.
I'm trying to figure out Mike's support of one over the other.
On a high-speed line, you know, let's say a high-speed line from New York to Florida, there will be significantly less stops as a result of trying to keep the high-speed nature of fast delivery of passengers. You know, currently Amtrak in that area, you know, as far south as they go, I'm not sure where they go in Florida, are stopping at a lot of small communities, and that kind of slows things down. So it's the speed and the number of stops that give you the efficiency.
So I touched on this. You're in a good position to discuss passenger rail. The St. Louis to Chicago corridor is buoyed in part by Bloomington Normal's boardings and, of course, the federally funded multimodal transportation center. Is what happened in Normal a case of lightning striking, or is it a model for other communities?
I think it's a model. You know, a lot of people take a look at what Bloomington Normal's become and really like it, you know, what's happened in Uptown Normal. But that was a long process, and that was an arduous process. And the work that we did and the tenacity with which we did it serves as a model for how to make projects like this work.
Alternative modes of transportation, we touched on this as well, can be politicized, but it seems like passenger rail stands out among other modes as controversial. Why do you think it's any more politicized than perhaps federal highway funds?
Oh, you know, I've got opinions on that, Mike. I don't know if they're right or if they're wrong, but take the Chicago-St. Louis corridor. That has bipartisan support. As long as I've been mayor, it's had bipartisan support. Other areas of the country don't have passenger rail, and so they say, what's the, you know, we don't get it because we don't have it. So I think there's some of that in the discussion. And then you get into the varying lobbying groups that are touting for highway. You've got long-distance freight on the highway competing with rail freight on the highway. So then it's a matter of who's got the loudest voice in Congress.
That's Chris Koos, Town of Normal mayor. He's close to wrapping up his third full term as mayor and who, as GLT reported late last week, announced he would seek a fourth term. Chris, why did you want to become mayor in the first place? And has that reasoning for remaining mayor changed since 2003?
You know, I just thought that I had something to offer the community, and I wanted the opportunity to do that. I've said this a million times that being a mayor or a council member in a small in a municipality, for the most part, is not political. It's public service. And I've been a person that always has given back to the community I live in. So I kind of approach my job as mayor in that vein.
What is it about public service that you like? What do you find rewarding in it?
I think, based on the experiences that I've had, that the community is a better place than it was when I started this.
We've been talking about transportation. Transportation has played a large role in your terms as mayor. Is that typical for a town this size, do you think? Or do you think a normal is atypical in some way?
You know, transportation is important to any community. It's the arteries. It's the blood passing through the communities. So without a vibrant transportation system, communities can't thrive. So, I think it's a very important piece.
Let's stay on transportation still. Where does the town and this community go for funding now that the Tiger Grant application to reconstruct Main Street, the Main Street corridor, was passed over?
You know, we go back to the well again. I mean, the transportation bill's a five-year bill. There'll be a Tiger every year. There'll be a fast lane every year. This is really the state's project. We're in support of the state on this project. So very few Tiger grants were awarded in the first go-around.
There's not another round this year, though.
No.
So
no.
Where does the town go here in terms of its priority? Because it put on hold its Tiger Grant for the underpass in favor of supporting IDOT's application for the Main Street corridor. If IDOT decides to reapply next year for the Main Street corridor, does that then again delay the underpass funding from Tiger?
Not necessarily. I mean, they're distinctly different projects. We'll have further conversation with IDOT in terms of what their wish going forward is to reapply for the corridor. We really haven't had internal discussions or discussions with IDOT yet to announce any kind of strategy or policy going forward.
If a project is worthy as Main Street doesn't get a Tiger Grant, why do you think the underpass under the tracks in Uptown, you know, also talked about as a Tiger Grant candidate, might still be worthy?
Well, you know, the environment is so competitive. There are a lot of good projects that didn't get funded this go-around in Tiger, a lot. And, you know, sometimes it's the way you write your grant proposal. Sometimes it does it stand out a little different and do something differently than all the other projects you're considering. So it's not like there were winners or losers.
Sure. Do you imagine the town of Normal and the city of Bloomington might meet with IDOT officials and sort of do a postmortem on the application and look at maybe where it was strong, where it was weak, and reevaluate
I'm sure that will happen.
And push it through again?
And actually, DOT debriefs the grantees that made it into some of the final rounds on their deficiencies in their grant, if there were any.
You want to expand collaboration and brand Bloomington Normal as a community, and you said during your announcement, we have a lot to offer together, we don't have as much to offer separately. Let's juxtapose that desire with the fact that the Bloomington Council decided not to even talk about a possible sales tax sharing proposal. Where do you start with that kind of collaboration and conversation?
Well, that's a good question, and we have to find that starting point. I think there are council members in Bloomington and Normal that would ask that very same question. Where's our starting point? I don't think any line's been drawn in the sand here that, you know, that we're near civil war or anything like that. I think there's still a lot we can do together as a community.
Are there any plans, or should there be plans, for some additional joint meetings, either public meetings or small group meetings with council or staff?
I think those are always helpful. I can tell you right now, there's a significant amount of that going on between the Bloomington and Normal Council on an informal basis. We're one-on-one or getting together. It's more social and trying to understand each other and what their philosophies for their community are as being a council member. So that's happening.
What do you envision as a brand for Bloomington Normal? How would that, what might that look like?
Well, you know, I'm only a small part of a team on that, and that's the work of Being Advantage. That's what they're working on right now. So that's going to be a collective decision, not one that any one person's going to drive.
You've talked about mentoring other council members. Are you hoping to find the next candidate for mayor to carry on your vision?
Actually, I didn't say that.
Oh.
I did not say I was mentoring other council members.
I'm not sure where I read that. I don't know if it was on the GLT page or another news source. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was misconstrued. I'm a collaborative worker. If mentoring happens to be part of the interaction that I have with council members, so be it. But, you know, some of them have been around long enough to mentor me. So it's kind of a circle.
Well, let's just stick with part of that question. Are there other candidates? And 4 years is a long time. But would you like to see the work you've done and the vision you've started continue with another mayor at some point? And,
yeah.
And does the current mayor have a role in finding his replacement, do you think?
I would certainly like to see that.
I guess I'm talking about legacy protection,
right,
which is,
yeah,
what Obama is doing now.
But, you know, I'm the kind of person that when I'm no longer mayor, I'm no longer mayor. You know, and I'll be there for advice if somebody wants it, but I'm certainly not going to do things to quote-unquote protect my legacy. I'll be moving on to something else.
Uptown, too, what might that be? Do you know yet?
Ask me in
4 years or 8 years. Uptown 2.0 is a big to-do list. How much do you want to get done with Uptown 2.0, the new master plan for Uptown, and how much do you think you can accomplish, provided you win and serve another 4 years as mayor?
That's a very tough question. You know, I don't think I can put a timeline on that. Had you asked me that in 2001 when I was got onto council, or 2003 when I was mayor, I would have envisioned a much faster track than we were on.
Of course,
these projects are
2008 changed things.
Right.
You know, the financial crisis,
right,
certainly changed things.
These projects are hard, and Uptown 2.0 is a bold project, and it's gonna be hard to implement.
But the library, maybe in 4 years, a new library, perhaps.
I can't go on record to put a timeline on that,
sure,
right now. I mean, we're having the discussions with the library. We know that that's a project.
You're actually touring some libraries soon.
That's right, next week. It's hard to put a timeline on that. We've got to identify funding. We've got to, I think they're currently working on assembling a design team to come up with ideas on that. But it's not realistic to put a timeline on that right now.
Well, we will see a new building along the circle, though. That's happening now.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Chris Koos is the mayor of Normal. He's announced his plans to run for a fourth term as mayor. Chris, thanks for your public service and your time over the past couple of years joining us here on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it.
Good to be here.
Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner has said he'll announce his future political plans later this month. Bloomington Normal's mayors join us on Sound Ideas most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. This is Sound Ideas.